Hi, Kay Chevres. So what we're going to do today is welcome to everybody and those who are watching us on channels like YouTube or so on. Welcome to all of you. So what we're going to do today, we're in Nefesh Haim. We're in Shara Aleph, Perek Vav. We're in the sixth chapter. We finished doing the very long, the very, very long Haggah, I wouldn't even call it a footnote, but like kind of additional material. And now we are up to the last very long additional material, which again, the point of them is partly to digress, but it also adds a depth to what's going on over here and sometimes gives us a clue to where things are going to come later on. Now, what we just said, what we said in general, just to get the big picture of the chapter, is the human being is plugged in to every part of the worlds between God's vision, God's original will, if you like, down to our actualization. All the layers that goes through somehow wire in to the human being. And that means that as we move, as we think, as we talk, as we do action, millions of impacts are happening, right? There's millions of impact points that are ultimately filtering into this world, into space-time, into all sorts of places and times. And there can be a natural corollary of this, which is that our actions suddenly have impacts we never imagined. Right? That we smile at somebody, they go, and the ripple effects are just vast, paralleling the impact points in the inner worlds. And we also said that mitzvahs are exactly the same. The structure of the inner and outer world of the human and the structure of the inner and outer will of gods and worlds and the structure of the Torah and the mitzvahs are all parallel to one another. And that means to say that when we do a mitzvah, we plug in, that's what ignites things in those worlds. And if chas shalom, if we do something wrong, that also has negative impact. But now focusing on the idea of the mitzvah, the last line he said is that when a person does return kindness of Hashem, when a person does the will of God, and they use a limb or koyach shabai, or one power, right? Power like a muscular movement, an energy, some potential within them. Any of the mitzvahs, the tikkun agedai sa'olam, it hits that exact parallel world, parallel to that organ in the body, parallel to that power in the person, etc. And it has all different ways in which it can positively impact. And according to the level of purity and intention and energy and emotion and passion that we put into it, that can impact the level. So there's the position, that's the five other mitzvah, and there's the actual level of impact. So something done really powerfully is like from the magnification of that impact from that point is far, far more powerful, etc. Now says the Nefesh HaChaim, something that we may not notice, but happens all the time, every time we make brachas, blessings on mitzvahs. Zeh shetiknu nusach ha-brachas ha-mitzvah. This is the reason now why the rabbis fixed the text of the blessing that we make when we do mitzvahs, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosof, who sanctifies us with the mitzvahs. What does it mean, sanctifies us with the mitzvahs? Right, so now he's going to explain what this nice phrase means. So you could say sanctified means we're made special in the fact that we have the responsibility of doing the mitzvahs. But he's adding, we can already begin to see where this is going. Because the mitzvah switches on the universes, that flows holiness down, and some of it comes onto us as well. All right, so let's see how he develops this. Similarly, in the text, in the Musafs of Yom Tov, we talk about Ata b'charton v'kal amim, he gave a special role to the Jewish people, and we talk about all the things of a care. Kiddushon mitzvah, you sanctified us with your mitzvahs. So again, you're giving us kedusha, sanctity, holiness. Ki me'eis sho'ila al rayon adam la'asos mitzvah. From the moment the idea comes in our mind, the intention to perform the mitzvah, I want to put tefillin on now. I want to learn Torah now. I want to light candles now. I want to daven now. I want to do whatever. Want to listen to a shir about the Nefesh HaChaim now, right? It's, the minute we just want that, he says, this is an amazing idea. Techem nasa rishum lemale. Almost instantaneously is the impact already above. There's already a preparatory impact going on before that shul mitzvah is done. B'mekar shosh ha'elyon, in the root, the high root of where this mitzvah ultimately stems from. U'mamshich misham alatzma armakiv. And already at that point, something flows into us. Called an Or Makif. Now, an Or Makif literally means a surrounding light. In the Kabbalistic text, they talk about light is always the will of God. And there's layers of that light. The lower down we go, the more muffled it is, but the more it's still always there. But there's an aura panim, a light that goes right inside. That's actually actively functioning in our inner essence. And there's an aura makif, a light that becomes, as it were, our context, right? The context within which we're defined. So our culture is our context. It's always a makif. It's always around us. It also operates panim. It shapes the way I think and do things directly inside. But they don't work in exactly the same way. So an aura panim creates the direct inner desire. I feel this way. The makif is, even if I don't feel this way, kind of, it's so much a part of my cultural, you know, I speak English. It's kind of makif for me, right? It envelops me because I can only think in the context of the English language. Whatever it may be, I've got my family and that's created an upbringing and so on. So that works in two ways. One is I think consciously about them, right? That they're a part of my environment and my world. They play a huge role. The other is it will also generate active inner thoughts as well. So the inner thoughts, because of patterns the way I've been brought up, there'll be passions and emotions and feelings which work from the inside. Sounds like an aura panim. But even if I don't have those passions and emotions and feelings, I got to always think in the context, consciously and not consciously, of the family I grew up in. I'm using a rough analogy, but that's like a makif. So there's some kind of context now to me and my behavior, which is actually enveloped in holiness in ways I may no longer not be conscious of. But it now, kind of my desire to serve Hashem has created a whole context and things will be impacted because of it. The desire itself will now open a direct portal of energy inside, which it will generate it will reflect it, it will be impacted by the extended desire to do the mitzvah. But something else will be going on, as it were, surrounding, right? And enveloping, and almost like I'm being embraced by God at that moment, God's love and God's will at that moment, separate from the inner feelings and desires. It's becoming the context in which I'm functioning, operating, thinking, and so on. So that's what happens at the moment, the desire is generated. The desire itself is a positive desire, and then something is good, but it doesn't happen in the desire, and then Hashem sends this light. The desire itself generates that light that it now flows down and envelops and surrounds the person. Okay. Kasim Mefurash. And in fact, we have an explicit statement of this in the Torah. In Vayikra, in chapter 20, right? V'skadishtem v'yisem kadoshim. So this is Parashas Kadoshim, actually. You shall be sanctified and you will be holy. So that you sanctify means you do holy things and then you become holy. So it's not just that we do good, it's that we change existentially. This Ara Makif actually makes us into a holy person, right? This light that envelops us now gives us a status of holiness. We have changed just as the result of thinking about this. This is an unbelievable concept. Like the Gemara in Yuma says, a person sanctifies himself below, meaning does good or intends to do good, then they get sanctified from above, meaning changes and becomes and gets enveloped in this good. Right, from above, it literally flows down from the root of the mitzvah. So the intention is what we can intend, that's in our control. And then the result starts to change us, envelop us, become our context of thinking in ways that we aren't conscious of, but it's actually coming from the high point. We've activated it and it's descended upon us. And then he quotes the Zohar, again, same principle, you sanctify from below, sanctify from above. I'm not going to go through all the quotes, but they're just quotes that essentially make this latter point. They don't explicitly, at least not the parts he quotes, say that it's from the intention onwards. I'm not sure what his source of that is, but the principle that as we do things below, do the mitzvah, let's say, then this holiness flows down and envelops us. Okay, lots of quotes over here. Let's carry on. I've got it three paragraphs later. But Ali Day Zakadusha. And through the sanctity of Ara Makif and the light that surrounds, who dovak kivyachol bayis barach gam b'chayav. So that means that we are now connected to God in our life, meaning in this world. We're connected to God in a way that we would normally have thought can only be experienced out of the body or when the body is purified in the world to come and in the eventual resurrection of everybody and so on. No, it already can happen in this world. We have an experience, a context of living, a direct, some sense of a level of connection to Hashem that is so intense and so powerful, if we tune into it and magnify it more, that you who are connected to Hashem, your God, he adds the words that the Pasuk doesn't say, Gam ba'oitrem, even whilst you are, Chaim kulcham hayom, you're all still alive today. So let's just pause and understand this. Normally we read the Pasuk saying, you who are connected to Hashem, your God, you are all alive today. Right? So there's different meanings of what that could be. In other words, don't worry, because one of the things the Jewish people at the time of that Pasuk were worried about is, if we get too close to Hashem, we'll be punished for doing things wrong. Moshe is saying to them, don't worry, you'll be okay. But the more direct meaning or literal meaning of it in isolation is, you who connect to Hashem, your God, you have life. The life you have is a result of that. Now, our biological life, Hashem lets even people who aren't connected to him have that. So what he's learning with Chaim Bevelozhin is like this. You could actually read it like this, and this becomes kind of the simple level that allows for the deep reading. You have a certain type of life. You have real life. You connect to Hashem today, you have real life. But he's reading it slightly differently, saying, you have a full connection even while you're alive. Atem advekim Hashem elokeichem chayim kol chameim, right? You have a connection to Hashem whilst you're still alive in a physical, biological form. You have the connection that you would expect to have when you're not alive in a physical, biological form. That's what he's saying. And that's the power of what happens for that moment that we light up inside and say, I want to serve Hashem. God, I want to do your will right now. How can I serve others? What can I do for them? What can I do for you? What can I do for your will? How can I light up your world? At that moment, there's a connection that is so deep and so beautiful. And we sometimes feel it when we're inspired and not just doing things by rote. Suddenly just so beautiful, that moment of letting go and just letting Hashem guide us and saying, whatever you will, Hashem, I'm going to do. And then doing that mitzvah, there's something immensely powerful that is transformative. And actually helps us then complete the mitzvah. Right? Amazing idea of Ali Deh Gemara, Or Mitzchazik, and then the light gets more and more powerful. So it becomes an iterative backwards and forwards process. We desire something lights up, we then go out and do it, right? Which is not so easy for a physical body to do. Right? We complete it. Those of you who've heard this shir I gave this week in the Sedra Vayakel, last week, by the time this video goes up, I don't know what week you're hearing it. There's a whole part of the Torah about the instruction and the intention to build the house of God. And there's a whole separate part of the Torah about carrying it out, even sometimes sounding repetitive, because intending is not, carrying out is a whole different dimension to intending. It needs extra holiness to flow through, an extra dimension to enter. So, and then as we do more of the mitzvah, more is flowing through, and more and more and more, and it's lifting. And that's what's going on. The light gets stronger and stronger and lifts us. And this is what the rabbis say in the Gemara, those who come to be purified, Hashem himself lifts them. And this theme will develop much more, especially it will develop through this shower, this gate. Remember, all these kind of footnotes and additional material are often giving glimpses of where he's planning to go. It'll become even more powerful in the third shower later on, in the Sefer. I don't know if we'll get there together in the Yeshurim or not. But Gamba Shechaz Ogeras Nibai, and also there's a pull and on the heart, Mizel Estagel Oid Kamitzos. At that moment, we're inspired to do more. I'm feeling so good about this that I just want to do more and more and more. The more we do it, the more we want it. And the more we don't do it, of course, the more we don't want it, right? Now listen to this phrase. Now that the person is living in the Garden of Eden, literally. Literally. Because Garden of Eden is not a physical place. The whole universe could be the Garden of Eden. It is a state of consciousness. Ultimately, it's a state of consciousness of the future. Right, I've spread this elsewhere. Eden is a word for time, often for future time. It's the state of consciousness of the future, of completeness, of oneness, of all of Yisrael and Adam, of all of the world, and connection to Hashem. We have an experience of that right here, right now, in doing the mitzvah. It's a staggering thought. Now, and at that moment, we can be in such a beautiful place that surrounded by this elevation, the Ein Makom LeYetzer HaShlit Bo, there's no real place at that moment for the negative drives to have any real impact. They're silenced. In that place of completely wanting God to be the center of our lives and completely being subservient to Hashem at that moment and being a conduit for his will, a lot of our negative energies go. The fears that drive them go. The resentments, the hatred, the anger, the ego, the judgmentalism of others, the kinah, jealousy, all the stuff. It doesn't live in that world of complete bitachon Hashem, complete putting Hashem at the center, completely asking Hashem what's his will, and then completely becoming a channel to do that. A human can get into that state of mind, and in that state of mind, the other stuff evaporates. This will develop much later on, like I said, in the third shahr, but we already see its beauty now. That's it. The can't stop the person doing the mitzvah as they get into that powerful space. This is the secret dimension of the teaching of Perkei Avos in the fourth chapter, that the mitzvah causes another mitzvah. Doing good makes more good, and converse. Because when a person then puts their heart into it when they're doing the mitzvah, if the person really puts their heart into it, they can actually feel this. You could feel some kind of holiness and inspiration coming in. And then also, as well as outside, inside something awakens as well. A new spirit, a new way of thinking. And this classical Reb Chaim of Elazan idea. Now listen, these are the mitzvahs that a person does them and lives in them. Literally, we say, and lives because of them. But Bohem means in them. He lists, take every word literally. The more literal the Torah you read it, the more you read the Torah literally, the more deep it reveals itself. Most books in the world, when you read them literally, they're not that deep. It's when you make them metaphors and analogies, they become deep. The Torah is the opposite. The more literally you read it, the deeper it goes. That's the secret of the Torah. If you want to read it simply, okay, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Are you willing to invest? Stop, focus, forget your context, take the word literally, rebuild the sentence. Work at it, put the context back, and suddenly you're in a whole different universe. And here's just a little example. We've had lots of them all the way through the Sefer. Those who connect, these mitzvahs that a person should do them and live inside them. Literally, inside them. Enveloped by the sanctity and the holiness and the beauty of the mitzvah. And enveloped and surrounded in the context of the air, the oxygen of the Garden of Eden.
Similarly, God forbid the opposite, right? The same process can work in the negative.
If a person starts going wrong, then they actually, after doing self-centered things or lustful things or angry things or lazy things, usually we become, there's some kind of dark energy that kind of envelops us then, chas v'shalom. And wants, you know, makes us want to do more, makes it harder to break out of, right? The getting in makes it, it's like a quicksand going down. Getting out is like a beautiful, but it's the same thing. The more you're in it, the more you want more, the more you're out of it, the more you're, and the harder it is to change, right? And the more we're in the dark, negative place, the harder it is to get out. Anyone who contaminates himself from below gets contaminated from above. Stay my principle. Because in a sin, in doing something wrong, they're plugging into a wreckage point in the inner spiritual systems, and that flows negative or anti-energy or darkness into that person.
We're going to again quote some Zohar here. I'm not going to do them all inside.
Skip the paragraph to the next one. I mean, you can look them all up if you want to. They help add aspects, but we're not going to go through each one.
Valzeh Amar Kosov, this is now what the Pasuk says.
Venitamtem, bomb. A person can become, you become contaminated or depurified. Again, we might say because of them, literally in them, inside them, bomb.
Right, Hainu B'Seicha Mamash Chas V'Shalom,
literally inside the force of darkness.
Shukashu Masubav Azbruach Atuma,
a person at that point becomes enmeshed and intertwined and surrounded and enveloped by spiritual dark energy.
Vavirad again, in the
kind of atmosphere of the, what in English is hell, but we don't exactly have that concept in Hebrew, but the dark, the world of shame, the world of in which the bad that we've done is ripped away, but the pain, the world of pain and shame, right? That's actually where a person doesn't have Eira, and then they feel sick and they feel, and often that sickness and shame is actually, often it masquerades as, I'm pretending to be a good angel beating you up for how bad you are, but that itself is actually pulling us down so far that it's really dragging us into the space of doing worse, giving up on serving Hashem.
right? This is powerful, real experience. And at that moment, we have to really fight to get out of it, because the longer we stay in it, the more deep in the quicksand it can sink a person. Even while they're physically, biologically alive, in this world, it escorts him into the next world, meaning that it's become the context. It's just like doing good can change us, doing bad can change. It can leave a permanent mark,
right?
Of course, a person can do teshuvah before they leave this world, and that's fine. That, you know, but that's the work they've got to do. And that's why teshuvah's got a miraculous dimension, because you don't just become a change the action. You got to get rid of all that other stuff. And that's, how can a person do that? And that's okay, that's because Hashem has a special gift that he gives us when we do that.
Okay.
Now we can understand the Gemara in Perek Yom Kippurim. The Perek Yom Kippur, Gedoyla Teshuvah Shizdoinis Nasala Kailim Kizuchuyas. How great is Teshuvah that it turns negative into positive? And then it brings the Gemara, he's going to ask a question from the fact that Gemara brings a positive, that doesn't, a verse that doesn't seem to give us this. Shanev Abashuv Rosham Mirishoiva Osso Mishpot Stoka Aleim Uyifia. The verse, which is from Yechezkel, says, when a person who's done wrong changes, they do Teshuvah, they return from their bad ways, and they do justice and kindness or truth or mishpat and stock of justice and charity. On that he lives, aleim v'yichya. Now, it seems from a simple reading of the verse that the pasuk over there, what it's saying, the person who was doing bad and now does good can now live through the new good. Where do we see anything about the negative became the positive? So there are different answers, but he says this. It doesn't seem that it's a proof. Right, the verse is not a proof to the principle. Because you'd naturally say he lives through the new positive acts they're doing, not through anything about changing the old. But if you measure Kasafti, according to what I wrote, it's exactly precise. Why? You've got to listen carefully to this precise wording of the pasuk. Had aleihem, upon them, referred to the second part of the pasuk, doing good, it would have said in them. Every time the Torah says you live because of the mitzvahs, it says you live inside them. So had it meant, had the pasuk meant a person did bad, now they're doing good and they're living because of those mitzvahs, it would have used the word bohem in them. That's what the Torah always does. When it says aleihem upon them, it's not referring anymore to the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs you live inside. It's referring to the other stuff. It's saying if a person did bad and now they're doing good, then upon the bad they live. How can you do that? Because the bad itself must have turned into good in retrospect, right? The teshuva has turned the darkness because we've moved away from, because we fell to the darkness, it exposed a vulnerability. But now we've rejected it and changed. Now this has become a part of the process of that change. And now all the negative that was around us is now replaced with the positive energy. The negative is gone, it's turned into the good. And upon the old negative, we now live. We live inside the good, but we build it. We step upon the old negative, as they say. Okay, these are very, very precise sensitivities to every single word and phrase used in intertextual comparisons across Tanakh. Okay, beautiful things. Because it doesn't say living in them, it's not referring to the later mitzvah. Upon them must now go back and say, he did bad, now he's doing good, he's living upon that which was the original bad, and therefore must now have turned into the good. I hope that's clear. I tried to explain, maybe I haven't explained that well. Let me try what, just in case that's not been clear. Okay, so the first part of the verse says the person did bad. Now it says they're doing good. And now it says, so the person who's done bad and does good lives upon them. And he's proven that lived upon them can't refer to the latter parts. It now must refer to the former part. So the person who's done bad, done tshuva, now lives upon them. But you live because of the mitzvah. You can't live because of an aveira, because of the bad, when we speak in this sort of way. So it must be that the aveira itself has now become good. I hope that's clear. Okay, either way. So through tshuva, which means abandoning the old habits, the old ways, and then later on, because the tshuva now doing new good, the tshuva itself has now transformed the old acts, and they now have also become a part of the merits of the person.
and part of their future world, and they're enveloped in holiness and stuff. Okay, Kasha Kiyam, I don't know if I've got time. Yeah, let's try. Okay, back in the main text. When a person fulfills all the mitzvahs fully, if a person were to do everything correctly in their life, everything, with tremendous kavana, intention, love, passion, and everything, you could actually rectify everything. All the world, the star, all the inner structures. And then the person will become, through the every fiber of their being, a vehicle for the divine will, the divine light to flow through them. And be sanctified through all of them. And the kind of honor, glory, the revelation of God will be enveloping this person permanently. That's why we see super great people. They just seem to have this glow or this light or something intangible. But it's there. It's clearly there. Again, quotes from the Zohar and Truma. Let's skip to the next paragraph. V'zesha Amar Rizal, this is what the rabbis say. Obeseinin Merkava. The forefathers, the mothers and fathers of Jewish people, they are the Merkava, literally the chariot or the vehicle of God's revelation. Yechezkel Ezekiel has this vision where he sees the layers of the heavens and the throne of God. And it's called the Merkava, the vehicle. He's seeing the vehicle through which God's light flows into the world. But actually, the highly super developed human beings are that vehicle. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, these are the vehicles, right? And so now, if the person doesn't reach that right to do something wrong with one of their limbs, that sin also reaches up to the particular point, that particular power or energy in the inner world, and causes wreckage and damage, or it lowers, right? Lowering means you got a piece of, imagine, spiritual piping or something, and it now can only operate from lower down. It can't convey the higher energy or higher positivity into the world. Or it can, but it's now damaged, so it's not flowing things in properly. Or it darkens the light itself that's coming in. It's the piping's all there, just the light is darkened, or it's got some filters blocking the light, or it limits the amount of light. So they in various ways will limit the amount of holiness and purity of the person. That's chas v'shalom. God forbid, all according to the level of the sin, how it was done, and according to the particular world and so on, that will impact. Not all the worlds are the same in terms of how much damage can be done, right? You've got in the lower worlds, right? If a person's sin only touches the lower parts, you get harisa v'churban, rachman l'tzlan. You do get wreckage and destruction, God forbid. But in a higher world, if a person is able to damage that. And he'll talk a little bit later on about some of the things that might correspond to these. Minyas ha'ar. It's not just there's a wreckage in the pipework of things flowing in, but the light itself is being blocked or limited. And if a person touches a place even higher, right, then they might limit the amount of light can get into any of the worlds, right? Then there might be a limitation in the amount of sparks. So sometimes the higher the world is, the less we can impact it negatively. Like some of these are not as damaging as damaging lower worlds, but the point is, this whole discussion in Kabbalah about exactly what you damage where. But where the human can reach and how sensitive and delicate that is will determine how much damage is done. Again, we don't need to figure all this out. The point is that there is a difference between different mitzvahs, different averas, different this, different that. Sometimes the rabbis tell us it's like doing an avera is like damaging the body of the king. Which, what do you mean? Hashem doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a physical body. He doesn't even have any bodily anything, but he's got a structure of the universes of how to flow his will into the world, and we call that the body in these types of contexts. again, not chas v'shalom, there's anything essentially linking that to God, but it's a structure Hashem has built and uses. So we call it the body because we can relate to one another only via the body, right? I can only see your body. I can't see your pure mind or pure will. And via your body and your expression and words you use and the emotions, I can get to feel the emotions and the thinking and get to connect to you. So to Hashem, all these worlds are like the body in the sense that we can get to connect to and relate to and have emotional connections to Hashem and so on through that. Got to be so careful learning this. You can see easily why people don't want people to learn these sorts of material wrongly or can you turn it into idolatry, chas v'shalom, you know. But we learn it correctly. You just listen carefully to what he's saying. Okay. So, you know, I had to be taught and then I could teach this on. So we get learn it correctly, not incorrectly. Yeah. Going around because we might find a case of that's so we say, yeah, okay, that's cool. The kind of Zohar Yisrael quotes the Zohar over there, a similar principle people who do things wrong, do averos or whatever it is. It's like attacking the body of the king. Again, this principle, he gives examples. Now let's go to the final Haggah, the final note of the whole chapter. With this, we can finish in Mirat Hashem. Zeu Pashto Sinyan HaKosov. Now comes something unbelievable. The last note, last week, we were in the Garden of Eden and the week before. Now we go back there, even before the Garden of Eden. Nasa Adam, when God said, let us make man. It's now, this note, by the way, goes back on the whole chapter, not just this last little bit. Now, when we said, Nasa Adam, let us make man, when Hashem said that, Hashem said that. Who's he talking to? Famous question. So, Lashon Rabbim, plural, who's God talking to? Rotz Loma. So there's different, aren't there? Angels or this, that. He says it's all of the above. Rotz Loma Shekulam, every part of creation is vested in, plugged into, or unified within and connected to man. Into the structure of man, so God's like saying, okay, everybody, everything in creation, we're bringing all of you in. So we are a partnership and an agglomeration, integration of all of them. Again, he quotes from the Zohar, the Raya Mehemna, Vital, the great student of the Arizal, Shakadusha, etc. And now, Vizesha Kosabrash's Rabbi, this is what the Medrash means when it says, Vayamedikim Nasa Adam, God said, let us make man. Who was he asking? So we have Rav Yeshua B'Shem Rav Levi, Omar, B'Melech HaShemayim V'Aretz Nimlach. It was the work of heaven and earth. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, Ma'ase Chol Yom V'Yom, with the actions of each day of creation. Nimlach, he asked. Kadosh Rabbi, right. But it's all of that. It's both. They're true. All heaven, all earth, all the creation, it's all of them. Kailas Rabba, the Medrash of Kailas Rabba, all that was done, he made in the past singular, and asu, they made, it's like a person, every limb and every element of our body was a putting together of Hashem, putting together with all the heavenly court. The heavenly court is what makes us. We are the heavenly court. Or we are an integration of heavenly court, the spiritual things, the negative forces, everything. That's us. With there's a universe within all of us together as Israel, and some degree even within each individual.
That's
and the Medrash says, of course, that's not saying there's God and things other than God. That's already elsewhere, but it means God has all these creations and all these things, and they're all integrated into one. There's only one Hashem. Everything else is a creation. And then all of that creation is integrated into us. Amazing, amazing things and amazing power of what it means to hand our moments of life to Hashem. Just want to do good and not listen to the voice if we ever do mess up of darkness that tells us, oh, you're terrible and filthy. That's ignore. Just get out of it. Get back onto plugging into the good. Let the Garden of Eden come around us and let us fulfill the thing Hashem said when he said, let us make man. That we too are part of, as the Baal Shem Tov says, part of the culmination of the creation of man. We'll stop it for this week. I think we're learning together next week, so we'll carry on then.